It's Here and Now. Have you seen any of the Survivor's Guide to Earth videos? It's a weekly series of commentaries by documentary filmmaker Matthew Cook. Most of the videos are short, usually less than 5 minutes, but they pack a punch with Matthew's often 100-mile-an-hour speech and his impassioned views. For instance, that police searches often erode the right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure. He also takes on America's growing prison population, and there's a deep look at the history of slavery at one time when the interests of poor indentured whites and black slaves were aligned. They actually rose up together. Matthew says that had to be stopped.
And a law enforcement system was created to give whites slightly more privileges and force a separation in their contact with blacks. This three-tiered caste system, blacks on the bottom and poor whites a notch above, now treated more favorably, made them feel as though one day they might improve their status if they just worked hard enough. And maybe some did, but most did not, especially as the life expectancy was only 35. As all rights and freedoms were taken from Africans, this new racial caste system protected the wealthy landowners, who in the South would soon become known as the masters. And if you're interested,
Matthew Cook was also one of the producers of the documentary Deliver Us from Evil, which examined the case of a Catholic priest who molested and raped 25 children in California. It was nominated for an Academy Award, and he gained notoriety for his 2013 directorial debut, How to Make Money Selling Drugs, which begins as a tongue-in-cheek guide to becoming a drug pusher, but ends as an indictment of the war on drugs. And Matthew Cook joins us to talk about his videos. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Wow, these are wildly successful, your video commentaries, a lot of viewers. What made you want to start them?
I mean, honestly, it was just cutting room floor footage. I was working on this film called A Survivor's Guide to Prison, which is what I'm doing right now. And I had a piece that was called How to Survive an Aggressive Officer that I'd just come up with and realized it didn't fit in the film. I'd shot it on my iPhone, and I thought, you know, this is good. This is interesting content to just put online. And I did, and that video, How to Survive a Crazy Cop, it ended up being called, wound up getting about 31, 32 million views in a very short time period.
The only reason you're not in handcuffs going to jail and getting summonses in the precinct is because I have things to do. Okay. That's the only reason that's not happening. Because this isn't important enough for me.
My name is Matthew Cook, and this is a survivor's guide to the police.
Surviving a confrontational officer. There are a number of citizens' watchdog groups who observe and record police misconduct. Their advice is to always be polite and never engage with a confrontational officer.
You disrespected me, this badge, and my department. You understand me? When I'm talking to you, you shut your mouth.
Ask, am I being detained or am I free to go?
Of course, we rush to say that is a title that's probably highly offensive to police officers who feel they have done what police officers are expected to do, and people who feel that police officers have performed an important role in their lives.
Well, look, let's backtrack to the title. It's How to Survive a Crazy Cop. It's not How to Survive a Cop.
Right.
I love great police work and I love great police officers, but I would say we have some issues with our criminal justice system that contribute to a degradation of what should be, you know, one of the most noble jobs in our country, 1 million people who wear that badge. We have a war on drugs, which is arguably one of the most colossal public policy failures in the last 100 years. Half of the federal prison population are there on drug charges and contributes to what we have now, which is the largest prison population on the planet.
How did you get back to, as you have in some of the videos, telling the history of Europeans who came to this country hundreds of years ago and were forced into labor?
Well, as we see in the mainstream media, cases of police brutality that have been consistent with reports from communities of color for 400 years, it's interesting that now today, all of a sudden, we have one segment of a disparate white America that says, "Well, if you talk about this as being racist, it's race baiting. You know, you're pulling the race card." You know, and I thought, well, this is something that should probably be addressed, and I felt very passionately about it because to acknowledge racism is not racist. And I understand what's happening, you know, on a limited level, which is that, you know, if you're a white guy and you're poor you know, you grow up poor. You know, at certain times, I certainly did. And you might think, well, I'm not privileged.
I think you say in one of the videos you were homeless at one point.
A couple times, actually. Yeah. My parents, you know, didn't have money, and they had to move in with some friends. And so we didn't have a home. You know, I had enough friends to crash on couches, but I started doing engaging in illegal activities in order to make a living. And, you know, there but for the grace of God go I live a different life now. But
well, but your point is also that you are white. And so if someone were to say to you that you had some sort of white privilege, you might say, well, wait a second, here's a little of my history.
Well, yeah, but I do have white privilege.
Yeah.
So that's my point. And so my point of creating of making a little video called Race Baiting 101 was to remind everybody about our 400-year history that really is covered up. I mean, we're a nation, you know, that's a great deal in denial. We don't talk about the fact that we were created on arguably the worst genocide in the history of the world, with the killing and murder of the Native Americans. And I think a lot of people aren't aware of the difference between American brand slavery, you know, the 1600s and 1700s as compared to the ancient world. You know, in the ancient world, slaves were simply a people who'd been conquered. So they were considered unfortunate, not inferior. And the American slavery was really different. And it really punished a community based on skin color, and tore apart families and brutalized them in ways that are totally unimaginable, that became completely different than the indentured servitude that whites were experiencing. And what that did was it created divide and conquer. It was a perfect divide and conquer tactic for the elite.
Well, so now you're raising funds through an Indiegogo campaign to finish your new film. This is The Survivor's Guide to Prison. Tell us about that.
It's about two guys. They were both committed for crimes of murder. Neither of them committed the crime. They were both set up by, you know, as you would put it, rogue police officers, or detectives who wanted to earn their stripes, and they framed these guys. And there are a lot of innocent people in prison. America also has the largest prison population in the world. And we have a culture now which tends to think of society as being sort of, you know, they're the good citizens and then they're the criminals. And so we've created this kind of punishment model where jail or prison is the answer to every wrongdoing. You know, somebody does something and we say, oh, you know, throw them in prison. Well, why? You know, the reality is it doesn't even work.
No. Will you still make the videos?
Yeah, I'm going to still make the videos for a while. How long? I don't know. I mean, you know, as long as I'm inspired.
Well, and people seem to be craving them, some debating them in the comments, but most welcoming them. But those are not, you know, they're hard work. you're putting a lot of production in them. I'm just wondering, as a filmmaker, is there more satisfaction to having the immediate response right there to a video or to do the bigger piece in a documentary? And you won't get that instant comment feedback.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% spot on. You know, I mean, doing a video, it's not instant, but it's more immediate than a film, which takes years to make and then another year to distribute it. And by the time you're standing in front of an audience, it feels like you've gone through a time machine. So, you know, I don't know what the state of documentary films will be, you know, going forward in terms of the 90-minute format. But it seems to me, it appears that at least at this time, the short online format is really important in order to communicate with people. I mean, in the last month and a half, I've got about 45 million and counting views on my videos, which is exponentially higher than all the previous documentaries I've done combined. Mm.
Documentary filmmakers would die for that. Filmmaker Matthew Cook, thank you so much. For information on his documentary, Survivor's Guide to Prison, it's up on Indiegogo till the middle of the month, and links to those videos, go to hearnow.org.